This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, the operative word this week on Cross Hope is the word endurance. The word endurance means the ability or capacity to carry on in spite of stuff in your life. It's in spite of fatigue, I endure. In spite of defeat, I endure. In spite of setbacks, I endure. That's what the Apostle Paul talks to a young minister about named Timothy. All this week in 2 Timothy as we continue this series called Last Words of the Apostle Paul. God bless you. If you are familiar with what's called still life painting, you're familiar with an artist by the name, American artist, of John James Audubon. His paintings are known as Audubon paintings. You may have one. You may have seen prints like that. He wrote this about the subject matter of today, the key word, as Kevin mentioned, endurance. He said, "I ate no meat. I lived chiefly on fruits, vegetables, and fish. Never drank a glass of spirits or wine until my wedding day." He got married at age 10. No, that's a joke, that part of it. "But he never drank a glass of spirits or wine until my wedding day. To this I attribute my continual good health, iron constitution, and my endurance." Isn't that interesting? Just eating fruits, vegetables, and fish, and never drank a glass of wine until he got married. He doesn't talk about how much he drank after getting married, but that's another story. He's talking about physical endurance. But today, this day, I want to talk to you about spiritual endurance. Endurance is the ability to live with what you can't change. And for some of you, and I do not mean this sarcastically for one second, I really mean it, for some of you, endurance is living with a person you can't change. And living with a financial situation that seemingly you can't change. Living with a health condition that you can't change. And I want to share with you right at the beginning that God gives a gift called endurance. It's something that He gives. You and I don't have what it takes to endure anything or much of anything, but God gives the gift of endurance, and I believe that with all my heart. William Barclay said, "Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory." To turn it into glory. It's a spiritual gift to take something negative that you've had to endure and say, "I'm going to turn it into something that glorifies God and glorifies my relationship with Him." Michael Novak said, "We really feel happier when things look bleak because, you see, hope is endurance. Hope is holding on and going on and trusting in the Lord." I think he's right. Today we're going to talk about something that's defined this way, the ability of an organism to exert itself and remain active for a long period of time, as well as the ability to resist, withstand, recover from, and have immunity to trauma, wounds, or fatigue. It's called endurance. And the Lord says, we have been called. You and I are called to endurance. This is one of few times in the Bible that we have a hint of listening to the words of a hymn. But Bible scholars believe the passage I'm going to read to you today was actually the words to a hymn in the early church. It's just 3 verses long. I want to read it today because it has something to say to you about endurance and several other things. It goes like this in verse 11. "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with Christ, we will live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us." Does that really mean that? Yeah, Matthew 10:23, Jesus said, "If you deny me before people, I will deny you before the Father in heaven." One of the most frightening thoughts in all of Scripture. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. Get the irony of that. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. He cannot disown Himself. I hope that today's message will bless you in a way that nothing else will. And you say, "Well, that's pretty egotistical of you to say that." I don't mean it egotistically. Why shouldn't I say that I hope that a message from the Word of God would bless you like nothing else? Makes sense to me. Makes perfect sense to me that if we're going to communicate from what we call the Word of God, it makes sense that I can say, not in arrogance, but total humility, Lord, I hope you bless people today with this message. I want to talk about that phrase, first of all, about dying with Christ, because I think it's a misunderstood phrase. If we died with Christ, we will also live with him, verse 11. Many Bible scholars think automatically that it's a reference to baptism, and I think it could very well be, for the simple fact that Paul in Romans 6, talking about baptism, being buried with Christ in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection, in verse 8 says this, if we died with Christ, we will also live with him. Paul makes the direct reference to baptism. But Paul also said this in 2 Corinthians 4:10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body. Listen carefully. This is, to me, it's very heavy. You can't separate your spiritual life from the death of Christ. Everything hinges on the cross. You do know that. You can't say, well, I'm not into the cross of Christ. I'm not into that kind of theology. You better be. You know why? Because Christ died for your sins and he died for mine. Makes a difference to him. And so we carry around in our body, Paul said, the death of Christ so that we can carry with him his life. And let me give you an illustration that will help you. Don't raise your hand, but everybody knows somebody in your family or extended family who died with bitterness. Everybody knows somebody who died with anger. Everybody knows someone who died with hostility, somebody who died with resentment. And it came out in various and sundry ways. One of the most frightening conversations I ever had with somebody, and I really mean this, years ago, a man said, Randy, when my dad died, telling me about the death of his father, he said, right before my dad died, he cursed everybody. He cursed everybody with the foulest language you can think of all the things they did to him and how they cheated him and how they, you know, did this to him and did that. And then he died. Can you imagine what that's done to his memory of his dad? That every time he thinks of his dad, don't you think it would be pretty normal for him to remember that moment? I'd sure remember it. What are you going to die with? Resentment? You know, resentment, I mentioned it not too long ago, is when you feel there was something coming to you that you didn't get, that didn't come to you, and you resent it. And resentment doesn't start out as sin, but it usually ends up as sin. Because resentment has a way of turning into bitterness. And bitterness is the cancer of the soul. And bitterness does, this always shocks people when I say this, but it's true. Bitterness does to your spirit and soul what sexual immorality does to your body. It does. It really does. That's what the Bible says. It contaminates body and soul. And so you decide to die with Christ. Makes all the difference in the world. I'm going to die with Jesus, not with my hatred, not with my resentment. Why do I think Paul was referring to dying? Because he was going to die. This is his last word. That's why we're calling the series Last Words, Paul's final letter in his prison cell. He knows he's going to be executed within a matter of days or weeks, and he was. Under the ruling of Nero, emperor of Rome at the time. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Now, if we endure, we will also reign with him. What is it that you feel is something that you have to endure in life? Some people put up with negative emotions and they say, well, that's what I have to deal with in my life. Some of you know who Dr. Henry Cloud is, a clinical psychologist. He said he got a call one day from a woman who said, I'm stressed out because a year and a half after my divorce, I'm still spiraling downward. I get so depressed and I can't get out of it. I'm still overcome with my feelings about it all. And then the clincher was, he said, you would think that after a year and a half, I would be over this. And Henry Cloud said, it doesn't matter if it's a year and a half or 10 years. He said, if you never deal with a negative emotion, you still have it 10 years later. What's the emotion in your life that in your heart of hearts you know you need to deal with? That maybe the Lord is just revealing to your spirit right now. And I really mean that.
not being melodramatic. I really believe the Lord can reveal something. We read that recently. The Lord will make it plain to you. The Lord will reveal things to you through His Word, and through His Spirit. Our hearts, our minds, and our souls are exactly like that cloud says. When someone hurt us, or when we've allowed someone to hurt us, we need to drain that wound before we're going to get any relief. If we open it up and clean it out, it will get better. Just like cleaning out a wound, it hurts for a while, but in the long run, it's worth it. The statement in the Beatitudes, he quotes, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," is so true on so many levels. We don't need to walk around with toxins inside of us, either physically or emotionally. They wear against our health and destroy everything we are trying to do. Clean them out, because if you don't, they'll infect the rest of your life. They'll infect the rest of your life. Somebody came here today, I believe, just to hear that. I want to talk about that frightening phrase in verse 12. If we disown him, he will also disown us. I actually have had people over the years say, does the Bible really mean that? Or is that kind of said with a wink? No, God means it. The next verse says God's going to be true to his word. He's not going to be disloyal to himself when God says something like that. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me or disown me before men, I will disown you before my Father in heaven. If that's true, it's one of the most frightening statements in all of the Bible. I've done this before, but here's a way to understand what it means to disown Christ or deny. You don't have to get up in an auditorium like this and make some kind of public diatribe or statement, I don't believe in Jesus, and I deny the Bible, and I deny this, and deny that. That's not what denial is. Have you ever been at a mall and somebody pretended not to know you? They denied you. They disowned you. When they pretended not to know you. Have you ever been at somewhere in public and you started to say, hey, and they just walked right on by? They pretended they didn't know you. You say, what's that have to do with this verse? Everything. People pretend all the time they don't know Christ. I'm convinced of it. People at our family gathering and they pretend they don't know Jesus. People are at work and they pretend they don't know Jesus. And I want to suggest to you that it may not be a serious thing to you or me, but it's serious business to the Lord because of what Paul said. If we disown him, he will also disown us.
Well, I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the most frightening verses in all of the Bible to me, because we don't want to believe that verse, that if we disown or deny the Lord, he will disown or deny us. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. This message will continue tomorrow. God bless.
And the reason I know that God's going to keep his word on that is because of the next verse. If we are faithless, he still will remain faithful. God will be true to himself. God cannot disown himself. So the God who says that is the God who's true to his word, what he says about other things. That's my point. The God who said this is the God who's true to his word about what he said about other things. I want to tell a story that I think will wrap this message up in a summary statement along with a couple of other stories. Several years ago, Bible translators who worked for Wycliffe Bible Translators, a famous Christian translating organization that some of you are familiar with, Bruce and Jan Benson and their 14-year-old son, Wycliffe Bible Translators in Peru, South America. They were driving down a mountainside in the Peruvian Andes. As they came around a switchback, you know, one of those hairpin curves, they came bumper to bumper with a truckload of terrorist rebels known as the Shining Path. Men jumped out of the truck carrying automatic rifles, aimed it at the Benson's car, ordered everybody out, and Jan honestly thought, she said, I thought this was it. I thought, this is the day my husband and I and a 14-year-old son are going to die. The terrorists took them to a nearby town. On the way, fearful and bewildered, Jan felt the need to pray, and if you can believe this, as crazy as it sounds, she felt the need to sing. She said it began as a trickle, a presence that said the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And she said she prayed to herself, Lord, I don't know how to praise you right now. Sing, came the answer. Sing. She began to sing, "You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Other songs float. Now, this story has a good ending. And I'll be honest, I don't want to be naive here and say that every story like that has a good ending, because most of the time they don't. The people do get shot. And the people are executed. The people are imprisoned, whatever the case may be. But in this case, that night, the terrorists just let them go, but they kept the truck, and they kept their luggage and everything that was in the truck, including their mission stuff. They had reels of 16-millimeter film, and the terrorists said, "Let's see what they've got." And later on, they put the 16-millimeter film on the projector that was in the truck, and it was the story from the Gospel of Luke, the Jesus film that some of you may remember from years ago, the movie Jesus. Now, that's the end of the story right then. A year later, Jan would get a call in the capital city of Peru from a man who said, "You don't know who I am, but I was one of the men that kidnapped you that day." And he said, "I don't know about the others, but I saw the film and I was moved, and I have become a believer in Jesus Christ." And isn't that interesting how a group of terrorists would kidnap this couple with their Jesus movie in the back of the truck, watch the movie, and a year later call Jan and say, "I'm a believer because of that endurance." They didn't know what to do. They were at a loss. All they could do is praise God. And you say, "What's your point in telling that story?" Simply this: somebody needs to sing today when you get home. I'm talking to you and me. We need to sing praise to the Lord for what's going on in our lives and what the Lord has done, and offer praise for this reason. The Bible says that our God inhabits the praise of his people. I don't know if you realize what that means. God lives in the praise of people. And I know that sounds mystical and otherworldly, but it's true. When you and I praise God, something happens within our spirit, within our soul, as God inhabits that praise. And that may be a word for somebody today. That's what I need to do.
This message concludes tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Every Sunday morning, I leave the house in Springboro between 7:30 and about 7:45. And I'm not exaggerating. Several people said, I know who you're talking about when I said it. I see the same man on the road every Sunday on my route from Springboro to the church. He drives a black pickup truck. The back of the pickup truck is filled with signs for real estate properties. And at every corner on the way to church, he's hammering a sign that says, "Sale today, open house this way, two houses left over here, two condos left over here." And that's all he does. And his pickup truck is full of signs. And I thought, well, that's an interesting profession, that he's doing that, that he's telling people and pointing the way to something that people need. And it meets a need in their life. It really does. And then I thought two things. That's what we do every week at Crossview Christian Church. We're putting out signs and saying, you know, the only hope in this crazy world is Jesus. The only hope you have in death, Jesus. The only hope you have in your family is Jesus Christ. It's all connected to him. And we put out signs. And then I took it a step further, that every person who attends here hopefully is a sign to somebody else. Did you ever think of yourself as a sign? You know, we point to a lot of things. We point to sports, and we point to politics, and we point to issues of the day and our conversations, and we point to money problems, and we point to a lot of things, good and bad, positive and negative. What would happen if all of us were a sign pointing the way and say, here's the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. When have you given a word of hope to anybody in the last year? When have you spoken truth into a person's life? Some of you remember the sermon where I said, if you have teenagers or grown children, that one of the most important prayers you pray for your children is for people to be brought into their lives, to speak truth into their lives. Because sometimes children don't want to hear truth from you, but they might listen to somebody else. Dad, I don't want to hear that stuff. Mom, I don't want to hear that stuff from you, but they'll listen to somebody else. So we pray that God will speak truth into their lives through other people. And my question is this: who do you speak truth into? Who's somebody on the planet you can point to? I spoke a little bit of truth to him. Not that we're the final word on anything, because Jesus is. But we're like the signs the guy in the pickup truck, the black pickup truck, puts out on the road. Nothing magical or powerful about the sign, but the signs are used to direct people, just like God uses your life and mine to direct people. What's the message today? Endurance. Paul's message in the hymn was, if we die with him, we live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. If we disown him, scary thought, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. But realize God gives the gift of endurance. He wants to give it to somebody today in this room. I really believe that. He wants to give it to you, to me. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let's pray together. Lord, please give your endurance to someone today so that there's someone who can leave every one of the three services today and say, Lord, thank you. I sense that you're going to give me the gift of endurance with my divorce, the gift of endurance with an illness, the gift of endurance with our financial situation, the gift to live with what I cannot change, and in some cases, to live with the one I cannot change. And sometimes that one is us.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.